Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Jordan Houseworth on the show. Jordan is the organizer behind Love on Tap, a singles experience, a speed dating event taking place at breweries and other venues across California. This was a fun and fascinating conversation where we dig into speed dating, modern romance, the apps, and a lot more. I know you'll enjoy this conversation. Let's go meet Jordan Houseworth. Blessed to infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best! Jordan, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
Ooh, back when I lived there, there was this amazing Chinese place called Little Peking that was on Cedar and Knees. It was my all-time favorite little mom and pop hole in the wall Chinese place. Since going back to Fresno recently, I learned it closed. So super sad about that. But I would say, knowing that knowledge, Five is definitely my favorite. I love going there.
I think I've only been there for a drink. What's food like at Five?
Amazing. They have a great happy hour. Their bruschetta is really good. They have these great meatballs that are in this great sauce that they have. And then for an entree, I always get the short rib. It's a big piece of meat that is just great. It's normally on potatoes, but I'm weird and I don't like potatoes. So I get it over their risotto and it's so amazing.
Wow. I need to try that. I've driven past that place. I've had a very expensive cocktail there once, but I've not tried the food. So I need to get after that, I think.
Yeah. Hit happy hour. It's a good time to go.
So I'm going to ask you, we have lots of questions that I have for you about romance, dating, this whole world, but I want to start with just kind of the origins of Love on Tap. How did this get started?
Yeah, so I moved to the Bay Area about 3 years ago, and I'm in Fremont, which is in the southeast of the East Bay. And anytime I was trying to make friends and make connections, whether it be romantically or just friendships, everything was in San Francisco. So I had to go all the way to the city for it, and it ended up being quite the hassle. So decided to take this idea of minglings and connections and starting it myself and bringing it to smaller areas. So started originally in the East Bay, moved to San Jose. I also do some in San Francisco now as well. But after seeing kind of the demand for it in the Bay Area, decided that it was time to maybe venture out and got into Sacramento. And then my hometown is Fresno, born and raised there. So decided what better way to keep spreading the love and the momentum going than to bring it back to my roots.
Perfect. And so just the layout of the program is people register ahead of time. It's at a brewery. Is there a cap on the total number of people that you have?
Yeah. So if we do a straight event, it caps at 32, and that'd be 16 of each gender. And if we do a queer event, they run simultaneously throughout the night. So it is also 32 people. However, if you're a gay male, you'll only be talking to the identifying gay men, and same thing for the lesbian women.
Okay. So you have just a big crowd, but that you can put them like on a certain track. Orientation.
Yeah, so if it's a queer one, yes, half of the room will be gay men, half of the room will be the lesbian women.
Okay. How big is the speed dating world? Is there like speed dating events like going on everywhere? Is it a small world? Is it something that's coming back?
It is definitely something that is coming back. It is interesting. There's a whole demographic out there of people who have only met on dating apps. I have some people that come to the events and they think it is such a cool thing, and they'll tell me I've never met anyone in person. So it's amazing to see the full circle moment for when speed dating was around. I was young and wasn't dating, but I know I have older people that come and, oh yeah, I did this when Match.com was a thing, and they would organize these. So now everyone is over dating apps and does not like the non-in-person connection. So there is a growth in events. There are a demand for these events, and it's gone super well.
I've only been speed dating once. It was a long time ago, and it actually, ironically, was in San Francisco, and it was an event at the public library, and you dressed in costume. It was on Halloween. You dressed in a costume and brought your favorite book, and okay. I remember feeling some discomfort at different points, but in a good way. And I just remember this it just felt so fast. Like I felt like I wasn't sure what to do. So I guess my first question is, what's the golden amount of time for speed dating? What's too long, too short? What do you shoot for?
Yeah, so our events are 2 hours long, and if we sell out of the event, each person will talk to said date for 5 minutes.
So 5 minutes is, in your mind, the good enough time, but not too much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've seen some that are 2 or 3 minutes, and I mean, I can talk about myself for forever, but to condense what I need to say into 2 minutes and then give you the opportunity to also say your 2 minutes is just not ideal. So less people, more time, more people, less time.
What about like the number of people before you start to forget people? You know what I mean? If you go on so many speed dates where you just get lost in the numbers, like what's your ideal number? If you go to a speed date event, the number of people you should talk to?
Yeah, I mean, there are also that are more of like a mingling event where it's not structured. Ours is a structured service, so you'll go table to table, forced to talk to everyone that's in front of you. So there's that method. Everyone also has a number that they're assigned throughout the evening, which helps for table layout and structure. So if you're like, oh, who was number 4? Go in your mind the map that you hit, and then that's some way to potentially remember everyone that you talked to.
Okay. What about, I know this is a funny word to use, but strategy. Like from your perspective, do you try to be more of, do you think it's better to just say your turn, my turn, or ask each other questions? What is the optimal way to approach these 5 minutes in your mind?
Yeah, the way to approach this is obviously up to the person's discretion. I definitely think that you need to not steal the show and obviously take up your whole time. We have icebreaker questions on all our scorecards that you're able to reference in case you get stumped or need some sort of get-go on that. But I love a good just conversation that can flow. So if you talk about one thing, obviously location is important, especially in the Bay Area. But I'm being present at my event last night. So come all the way over. Location is a big thing that you want to touch on. And then it's very surface level, obviously, since it's so short. But whatever you are looking for, I have a girl who wants kids, and one of her questions is, do you want kids? And if they say no, all right, we're not going to be a match, but we can keep talking. So it definitely is what you make of it.
Okay. There's been some writing about like the dating world, specifically on apps, that says that we've entered a space where there's like a winner take all system, where there's like a small group of people that get a lot of attraction, and then you have a lot of people not getting a lot of matches. Do you find that in the speed dating world when you're looking at scorecards, where there's like a few quote baddies in the room that are like pulling all the attention, or is it more evenly distributed?
Yeah, it is still, we're still human. We love people who are attractive, and we are attracted to a certain person. Or a certain type of person, no matter who you are. While there are often sometimes some favorites that are in the room, it seems to be very diverse in the amount of people that are number one in attendance, but also the people that you like, because love is blind and apps can only get you to the surface level of everything. So this puts you in front of people that you maybe wouldn't swipe right on or get a swipe right on, or even approach in a bar because it's structured and you are forced to sit in front of somebody. It might open you up to an opportunity to get to know someone that you would actually like, that you again wouldn't have the opportunity to talk to beforehand.
Okay. The next two questions are about speed dating in different categories. So do you find that there's big differences in the events that you put on for younger crowds versus older crowds? Maybe your 25 to 35 crowd versus your 40 to 55 crowd. What are the differences you notice?
Yeah, the differences between the two crowds, younger and older, honestly, alcohol intake is one of them. A lot of the younger crowd gets nervous more, I think, or I would say that's why they're drinking more, unless they just like to party. But nerves are definitely something that is just going to be a part of the nature of speed dating, whether you've done it one time or 100 times. It's nerve-wracking talking to 15 different people in one night. So definitely that body language is something, as well as in apparel, just because we're different generations and of course different parts of life. So people have different ways of doing things differently.
Yeah. So the other area of difference that I want to ask about was geographic difference. Do you notice major differences when you have these events like in the Bay Area or coastal places versus the Central Valley?
Yes and no. No, not really. Again, every person is unique and different. So someone who lives in the Bay Area could look like they live in a more rural part of the state. So while I think so, I don't know if I can definitely give an answer on that, just because I'm obviously not the one dating them. So I'm sure if the conversations were heard by me, I would hear a drastic difference in just the way of life, given the nature of larger cities compared to smaller ones. But on the surface level, from what I see as just the host, I can't give a definite answer on that.
Okay. Last question before we move to more kind of general dating questions. Do you think your events would be more or less successful if you blindfolded everybody?
I think that successful in the terms of matches people make.
Success according to you, whatever your definition of a successful event is.
I would say potentially that there is an opportunity for that, especially like now with TV shows like Love is Blind. Again, that's putting you in front of a stranger that you don't obviously know what they look like, but you're hearing that connection, or you're hearing what they have to say and falling in love with the idea of what this person is behind the wall. I think that there potentially would be more matches if people didn't go into it on the surface level of view, yes.
Gotcha. Okay, let's jump to more general dating questions, because I'm curious your perspective, given that you're in the space so much. We know from the data that people are more lonely today, they're more single, and they're having less sex. If you're looking at those kind of categories, loneliness, lack of relationship, less sex, what do you think is like the central problem here? What are we, because sometimes you can go after an effect. So let's say the central problem is people are just meeting less people, and so an effect of that is they're having less sex. But I think it's more complicated. I'm just curious what you think the central problem is that's keeping people isolated today.
Yeah. And I guess depending on the person you're talking to, that is a problem or isn't, because there's also people who I have met out in the street and tell them what I do and encourage them to do it. And we're in an era where people love being single and they are choosing to be not in sexual relationships and exposing themselves to the industry that I'm in. So definitely person pending, but given the, to answer the question, we just live in a time right now where things are so disposable. So with dating apps, you can have a handful of matches. People are now just collecting likes for the self-gratification factor of it. And as time progresses, or and has progressed, we as a society have gotten more, I don't want to say shallow, but I mean, we're online people. So we see the filters and we see we compare our lives to other people's lives. I think that we are just hard on ourselves as humans, of course. But when you throw in the element of dating and finding a companion, people I think might be harder on themselves than they actually need to be, because while it is hard and it is a challenging process to date, you really want to find someone who's going to love you and accept you for who you are. So just always try to be your most authentic self and see how that goes.
Let me throw something at you and you tell me what you think. So I think sometimes people try to solve like social or community problems with romance. Like they don't have big friend networks, and so they try to throw all of their eggs in the basket in terms of just like seeking a romantic partner, and that's going to solve all of their social, lack of social engagement. Do you see that as part of the issue here? Is there's a lot of pressure that's put on romantic relationships as well to solve a more general loneliness problem?
Yes, I definitely think that is a problem that some people might have, because again, yeah, whether it's collecting the digital likes or actually meeting these people in person and having multiple, I don't want to say partners or dates, but just having a pool to choose from definitely makes a little more pressure onto you. And people, yeah, the way that everyone's brain obviously works differently, and I'm definitely not an expert on the whole idea of it, but yeah, we definitely put barriers and roadblocks in our minds that can play to our detriment.
You engage with a lot of people that are coming to these events, and I'm curious, like, your perception. Do you think people are self-aware enough to know what they're looking for? I find that I have friends that have certain expectations for what they want out of their romantic partner, and then when I actually meet the person that they're dating, they're so different than like what they, quote, expected or thought that they wanted or needed. Do you think people have good self-awareness of what they're looking for?
I would hope so. Of course, we can all lust over the models and want this grade A life that we dream of. But then there's the practicality of it, because while I'm attracted to celebrities, I know I'm not going to get them. So I need to, I don't want to say lower my standards, because my standards are still very high, but be practical in what you're looking for. I honestly forgot what the question was.
I'll just ask if you think people are aware of what they actually want versus what they maybe say out loud that they want, because that could be like a way to signal importance or status by saying, I want X, but deep down they really just want someone that's like going to sit next to them on the couch and watch Love is Blind.
yeah, definitely. I think people are aware of what they want. And that's the beauty of this, is you meet these strangers, and while you may not be physically attracted to this person, you hear their story, your conversation's going well, and you're vibing, and it really opens you up to an opportunity to view something that maybe you didn't even know you needed. Like, after hearing them and your conversation, maybe it helps you to readjust your priorities in dating, to lack of a better word.
Okay. What do you think about the advice that you should work on yourself before pursuing romantic relationships? I hear that a lot. And I see that on social media a lot. Oh, I got dumped, and so I'm going to go to the gym and get swole or whatever. And then once I've worked on myself, I'm going to put myself back out there, as if that is the problem and solution. What do you make of that advice?
Yeah, I completely agree with it. I think that life is hard in general. So we have our everyday problems, and then to add in the element of, especially as we get older, our friends are finding partners, they're getting married, they're having children. So as time progresses, you potentially become the only single friend in your group. So we do have the pressures on that.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is the apps. What's wrong with the apps generally?
Pending the person, nothing is wrong with them. So they do have a purpose, and these apps have proven time and time again in their success stories. So they are.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. How could the apps be improved?
Okay. I think it's user error, honestly. I think that the apps are doing their thing. But we, again, as a society, are collecting these lights. We have too many people at our disposal. I really love, can I say app names?
Of course.
Okay, yeah. I really Bumble, or Hinge's aspect, excuse me. I really like Hinge's opportunities that they offer in their apps, because they give you prompts for people to respond to, as opposed to something like Tinder, where it's just swipe left, swipe right. So when you are on like Hinge, it can say, oh, this is my favorite color. And then it gives you the opportunity to respond and communicate back to them. And I think that is super great, because one, it's an icebreaker built into itself, but two, gives you an opportunity to play with and it's flirtation, right? So you're flirting with this prompt that they gave, and it's your first pickup line. So how can you utilize it to your full potential? So I enjoy those. So a way that things can improve is maybe by enhancing those first impression opportunities. But a due diligence. But again, we are just turning into a society that wants to collect likes and go on multiple dates and have multiple partners, which of course there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it is, again, user discretion of what they choose to do with those apps.
Okay, so you think the apps are just enhancing something that's already inside people, that's causing them to pursue superficial things like likes and perception?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to jump into my favorite section in these interviews, which is called overrated versus underrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. You tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. We'll start with the big one this summer, Love Island. Is that over or underrated in your mind?
Overrated this season, but underrated as a whole.
Okay. Why overrated this season? Who didn't you like? No, I'm just kidding. Goodness. We don't have to go down that road. But I also watch, I don't normally watch Love Island, but my partner and I watched it this summer. I was irritated, I would say, about 50% of the time.
Oh yeah. It's trash TV, and it served its purpose to be so entertaining. I would love that concept, but not with supermodels, because I think it's so great, but obviously I need a more realistic thing.
Okay. Next one, Tinder.
Overrated.
Okay. Why is it one of the worst apps?
Going back to what I said about Hinge, given the opportunity to have the prompts and stuff, it doesn't allow for any initial engagement. It is just the surface level swipe. And I'm always for the underdog. I think they're the biggest name, and there's other apps out there that are better.
Okay. Next one. Long distance relationships.
Underrated. I think given the circumstances and the people and obviously what you can withhold, you're able to do it, whether it be short term, long term. If there's a will, there's a way. And if you want something bad enough, you'll make it work.
Okay. Next one. Meeting someone at a bar.
Underrated.
Tell me why.
Yes, I love that. Similar to this approach, it puts you in front of people that you, or it gives you, one, it gives you courage. Like, it takes a lot of balls to go up to someone because you could get rejected or you could end up in a positive way, but you never know. I think it's super underrated to approach anyone, whether it be in a bar or in public or in general, because I think it's like, I'm attracted to a person who has the balls to do that. So if you can already come up to me and do that and break that barrier down, kudos to you.
Okay. Blind dates over
underrated.
More people should go on those. Why?
I think so. And it's hard to do that now because I can Google anyone's name and find a photo of them. But that's, again, what speed dating is. You're coming into this blind, myself included. We don't have a vetting process for people. If you choose to attend, you're welcome to. That's another question people always ask me is, who shows up? What do they look like? How's the turnout? And I will say different regions potentially have different variables that I can surface level answer. But you are coming into it blind. And I think it's exciting because you can come into it with an open mind and you never know what can happen.
Okay. Next one. And this is a Fresno staple. I know you'll know. That's pizza.
Oh, overrated. I was in a commercial for them one time. So
really?
I feel like
okay. You have to tell that story.
Yeah. I went to school for public relations at Fresno State. So I just had some connections in there and I got reached out to asking to be in a commercial. So one of my friends, who is also our Central Valley host, Jessica, or speed dating host, her and I were in a commercial and I am such a good actor because I hate ranch. I do not eat it. It is so gross. But they asked me what I love about that ranch. And the only segment I've seen in a commercial is how I'm yearning for this ranch.
That needs to be on your LinkedIn for sure.
I know, right? Add it to my IMDb.
All right. Next one. Dating advice columns.
Underrated, depending on the outlet.
Yeah, my favorite one of all time, and I'm sure you'll know this, is Dan Savage's column, Savage Yes. Love, just because he was so funny. But I often wonder about giving general advice to the public about how to approach dating. It seems it's a pretty unique experience for people, but maybe there are some patterns that you can point out.
Totally. Yeah. And we all can read and hear advice, but it's up to you to take it. It definitely takes a specific person to actually put all of that into effect. But yeah, no, I think people should always educate and learn more.
Okay. A couple more. Run clubs, using them for romance. They're very trendy right now. What do you think of them?
I think underrated. I love run clubs. I actually want to join one in my area. And they also love them because they always have end-ups at breweries. And they are predominantly the breweries that I host these events at. So love that cross-marketing. But it, again, gives you an opportunity to find someone with a similar interest to you already, which is super cool. And something we're actually trying to work on internally in our speed dating events is almost theming them to where it's like a music lover's night or a... Someone even suggested a Labubu night. So like some sort of already icebreaker because you have something in common, I think is great. So I love run clubs.
Okay. The next one, The Bachelor or Bachelorette, the show, over or underrated?
Overrated.
Okay.
Which
you're done with it?
Tell you. Yeah, I can't tell you. I've seen a season since Tristan and Ryan. So
Let's go to the next one. If you had to watch one of these and only one, would you rather watch Love is Blind or Too Hot to Handle?
Love is Blind.
Okay. Why?
Again, we need realistic things. And of course, people do look like that, obviously, because they're on there and other people in the world. But I'm also about the internals. Like, I'm a very not superficial type of person myself. And I don't think that society should hold those pressures to them. But kudos to you if you can do laundry on your stomach. But I'm a personality guy.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a couple questions about organizing local events. How do you try to ensure that you get the widest and most diverse group of people coming to these events? How do you think about marketing and making sure that these events are open to all kinds of people and all kinds of people feel comfortable and safe at these kinds of events?
Yeah, so we definitely just first and foremost have a zero tolerance policy for any hate, bullying, negativity almost in the sense of these events. Again, we do this blind, so it's hard, or so we don't vet people behind the scenes, so there's no way to ensure that is not a thing. However, given the circumstances of the event, people usually come in with an open mind, with a good attitude. Because first off, if you come in with a bad attitude, no one's gonna wanna match with you. So one, you're wasting your time. But as far as making sure it is diverse, again, I can't necessarily say that it does happen. However, we like to choose venues in different regions of cities because I know myself, I have a favorite bar that if we hosted these events at, I would go. However, if there was one across town that is in a bar or a region that I'm not familiar with or comfortable with, I wouldn't go to that one. So again, it's all blind, but trying to expand to different areas to make people feel more comfortable in the stereotype setting, I guess it would be, is what we try to do.
Okay. I know lots of people that are trying to start pop-up events, community like ground guerrilla style marketing, or just like approaching venues with ideas. It seems like you've had a lot of success in getting a lot of different venues in a lot of different places. What would be your advice for someone that's getting started out with something either like this or some kind of community event, and they want to like communicate to venues their vision in a way that the venues get excited about it? Like what would be your advice to them in organizing these?
Yeah, organizing events can be or is super challenging, depending on the scale of it, obviously. But we're in a time right now where things are expensive. Times are hard for businesses. So we had the mentality of approaching, of course, breweries is where we originated, but now we've reached out to coffee shops. We've had bakeries reach out to us. So now we're doing things outside of breweries. And honestly, anyone and everyone that will have us, which is so amazing. And in order to reach out to these people, honestly, being annoying will get you almost anything. Like, persistence is key. And going to these people and not backing down and having a plan, writing your one sheet out and showing them that the results are there and it is going to be an impactful event is first off just a great sell to them. And obviously letting them know that they are going to not only gain business, for mine specifically, like my pitch is, do you want to be a part of someone's love story? Like their first date could be here. They're going to come here for their anniversaries. They're going to talk about how you are a part of their story forever. If it's a brewery, maybe they'll serve beer at the wedding. Of course, that's how I love to approach mine, is be a part of this story. And especially if you're going to a small business, small businesses love to be community oriented, especially in Fresno, where it's a very big city, but it's very small. So if you can incorporate some tie into the community and let them know that there's benefit not only in you being the organizer, but them being the host of the event or the venue partner. Yeah, there's so much opportunity there. You really just have to go looking for it.
Are you optimistic about in-person events going forward? Do you think that we're turning a corner and like leaving our little caves with our phones? Or do you think that that's just here to stay and that there'll be a smaller portion of people that are the ones going out to these kinds of events?
No, I am pretty optimistic about events happening that are still in person. It is a struggle. My day job is actually at a brewery. So that's where this all ties into
gotcha,
each other.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm our events manager there. And we have definitely seen a decline in our beer festivals, in our everyday events that we have. So it is a struggle, but there is those people who, or there are people out there who are, again, craving human interaction, whether it be to find love in what we do or just to go out and be in the world.
Okay, a few Fresno questions to close up. I know you've moved away 3 years ago, but I'm curious your perceptions from when you were here. How would you describe the Fresno dating scene?
The Fresno dating scene is interesting, I gotta say. From my own experiences and from what I've heard from people, it is a struggle. However, I've had friends that have left Fresno and moved to LA, San Diego, New York for other things, but also, of course, they're going to date while they're there, and they aren't having that much luck either. You'd think that these bigger cities have hotter people or better pools. So it really is not the, it's not the case. Everywhere is the same. So Fresno is Fresno. It's home to me. I'm always going to love it there. The people, I have some differences with in a lot of ways, but the dating scene is, it's, and it's growing, and it's anything. And I'm glad that we can provide a service to people that is a potential, again, way to meet people aside from dating apps.
Okay. What was your experience of hosting dating events here in Fresno?
Oh, the response from Fresno has been overwhelming. It's been great. We nearly sell out every event, which is awesome. Our first event was at Que Pasa in May. That was just obviously a restaurant, but the first brewery that we did was Crow and Wolf. And they're such great partners. They're one of my favorite breweries in the Central Valley. And those tickets go on sale and they'll sell out within 2 to 3 days, if that.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah, so the demand is there. Everyone who comes to the event always tells us, thank you so much. I've been needing this. And every person will say the dating app sucked. So the demand is there and the need is there and people are ready for it.
Okay. And then I ask everyone this question, which is taps into like how what they do shapes how they see a place. What have you learned about Fresno as a city by doing these events? So there's certain things that have arrived for you, like in hosting these events about the city itself?
I wouldn't say about the city itself. It's definitely taken me to new places that I had never been before. We are hosting an event at Quail State in 2 weeks, I believe, on the 13th. And I had never been there before. So I loved seeing that. And again, loving mom and pop places, to going to the venues and learning about them and seeing how we can help support the business that they have has been a really fun opportunity. So I really like that.
Okay. We close these podcasts in the same way, which is with book recommendations. Do you have a book or two that you'd like to recommend listeners?
Oh, just a generalized book or a book about
anything you want to recommend?
Oh, I just finished the Jeanette McCurdy book. I'm Glad My Mom's Dead, I think it's called. I can't remember the actual name, but she's that Nickelodeon star. And that book was very entertaining, informative.
Yeah, describe that book. I've heard about it, but I don't know much.
Yeah, so she was an actress on iCarly back in the Nickelodeon days. And she was basically a child star being pushed by her mother. So her mother wanted to be the starlet, but never got that opportunity. And once she saw that her daughter had the success and the, or the potential to do it, she pushed her to do that, and which of course gained her the success, but at what cost? She had an eating disorder. Her mother would never leave her side. So she almost suffocated her in this lifestyle that she did not want and is now retired since. So once her mom died, she felt alleviated of all of those pressures. And hence, I think the book is I'm Glad My Mom Is Dead.
Wow. Sounds like a fascinating read.
It is. I love Hollywood lifestyle since forever. So doing those kind of things is, or reading up on those kind of things is really nice. And it just got picked up by Apple TV, I think, to be a series. And Jennifer Aniston is playing the mom.
Wow. To close, what events are coming up in Fresno?
Yeah, so if you are listening tonight, we have our event at Tap and Cellar. Tomorrow, we have our event at Vibes Lounge. And then we're all over the place. So if you want to look to see any of our future events, give us a follow on Instagram at Love on Tap Dating. Click the link in our bio. You'll see our link tree with all of our events coming up. And if you have any venues that you're interested in us hosting at, shoot them to us. We'd love to have them in our repertoire. And if you are a venue and you want to host us, definitely still shoot us a follow, a DM. We'd love to check your space out and have you be a part of someone's love story.
Perfect. Jordan, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Of course, yes. Thank you for having me. Fresno's
back. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.